Hello, everyone. Welcome to my wife and daughter. They're watching online today and joining us. Appreciate the special music. How's that? Better? Okay. Well, of course, it's always a delight to be here. Love to see everybody. I'd like to begin today in Proverbs 26. Excuse me. We'll read verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 26. Here it says, as a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, am I not in sport? When someone deceives or hurts his neighbor by lies, by reporting false things concerning him, cheating him in trade or commerce, or taking his goods privately from him, and then saying when they're caught, they didn't mean mischief. It was all in fun. They say, am I not in sport? Isn't that just joking? Well, that's only an excuse. It's absurd, as if you start their house on fire and say, oh, I was just joking. Many deeds, ideas, or practices, they're claimed to be just harmless fun. That even includes calling evil good. Some practical jokes, they might be harmless as long as they're genuinely kind and they don't hurt or offend or embarrass somebody. Sometimes they have a lie attached to the joke or trick, and even if the practical joke itself might be harmless, the lie would still be a lie. This idea of practical jokes, playing tricks or deceiving someone, it's not new. But some practical jokes can be extremely destructive. There's another line of thinking that people view as harmless fun, but is in fact extremely destructive in a spiritual sense. That's the area of holidays and traditions. Many holidays and traditions are based on lies. So now we've started the fall holidays already. We just concluded the holidays, but we're in this fall season, and America has a lot of holidays coming up. I looked up August and September holidays and observances. This is from a link that said they were from sources across the web, so I don't know anything more about them than their titles. Here's a few from August. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. National Lazy Day. Girlfriend Day. Spider-Man Day. Respect to Parents Day. September has these along with some others. American Chess Day. World Letter Writing Day. National Little Black Dress Day. And the list just goes on. Now, some of these holidays and observances, they might be just harmless fun. As I said, I don't know anything about them except their titles. But there are holidays and observances that are not harmless. They can be dangerous and even evil and be dressed up, presented as harmless fun. They're truly deceitful. So today we'll take a closer look at some of the holidays and observances that people in general consider to be harmless fun, but in reality, they're offenses and they're even hated by God. So the title for this sermon is Harmless Fun or Spiritual Deception. Harmless Fun or Spiritual Deception. Most people today, they really don't concern themselves with spiritual truth. We know from Revelation 12, Satan deceives the whole world. And part of that deception is with the use of pagan holidays and festivals. They're presented as harmless fun, but they're designed to turn people away from God's true holy days and instead accept pagan or idolatrous teachings and practices. There are, of course, some holidays that are fine and good and proper. Thanksgiving Day is certainly an acceptable holiday to observe. Celebrating the 4th of July is certainly not wrong. We can acknowledge God did, in fact, give us this wonderful nation and the freedom we have and all the abundance that comes with it. There's other national holidays. They're not wrong. And I should mention that birthdays are not religious holidays. So therefore, it's not wrong to acknowledge someone's birthday. The making a wish practice, maybe that could or should be left out. But normally, there's not any worship service involved with birthdays. Now, before we get to the identity of some of these pagan and false religious holidays, we can notice God's instruction about getting caught up with false ways, false worship. Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5 puts the focus on the idolatrous teachings of sun worship. Sun worship seems to have been a major deception among the surrounding nations of Israel. Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5. But if there be found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, man or woman, who has worked wickedness in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods, worship them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told you, and you've heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it's true, and the thing is certain, that such abomination is worked in Israel, then you bring forth that man or that woman who has committed that wicked thing to your gates, even that man or woman, and stone them with stones till they die. That was such a serious sin that God simply was not going to put up with it. Now, today, people do this very thing. They most likely, they don't even have a clue about what they're actually doing. And we'll see that in a few moments. First, let's go over to Ezekiel 8, 13 through 15. Ezekiel 8, 13 through 15. And we can identify this sinful activity. Ezekiel 8, 13. He said also to me, turn you yet again, and you'll see even greater abominations that they do. He brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. Behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. We can read right over that and miss the point. God calls this behavior great abomination. So what's the truth of the matter? What's going on here? From Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible, he mentions this. This solemnity was of a twofold character. First, that of mourning, in which the death of Adonis was bewailed with extravagant sorrow. And then after a few days, the mourning gave place to wild rejoicings for his restoration to life. So that was a revival of nature worship under another form. The death of Adonis symbolized the suspension of the productive powers of nature, which were in due time revived. Accordingly, the time of this festival was the summer solstice, which in the east, nature seems to wither and die under the scorching heat of the sun and burst forth again into life at due season. Again, from Albert Barnes. At the same time, there was a connection between this and the sun worship, in that the decline of the sun and the decline of nature could be alike represented by that death of Adonis. The excitement attendant upon these extravagances of alternate wailing and exaltation were in complete accordance with the character of nature worship. And that was the reason that was so popular in the East, especially among women, and led by inevitable consequence to unbridled license and excess, and in Ezekiel's day, one of the most detestable forms of idolatry. Just finishing his quote, therefore the idolatrous priest must, in worshiping the false sun god, turn their backs upon the true God. Remember, mentioned they said they had turned their back on, face the east. The worship of the heavenly bodies was one of the earliest forms of idolatry, and it was expressly forbidden, as we read over in Deuteronomy 17. In the book of Job, this is mentioned as well, Job 31, verses 26 through 28. Job records this, Job 31, verse 26. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed, or my mouth had kissed my hand, just a symbol of how they did that, This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. So he understood that sun worship obviously was wrong. 2 Kings 23, 1 through 11, mentions sun and moon worship. I'll just read verses 5 and then verse 11. 2 Kings 23. And this is when King Josiah read the law. He put a stop to these abominations. 2 Kings 23, verse 5, it says, he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, the planets, and all the host of heaven. And down in verse 11, it says he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, who was in the suburbs. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. Those who adored the sun had horses they mounted every morning to go out to meet the sun when it was rising. Throughout the East, the horse, because of its swiftness and utility, it was dedicated to the sun. And the Greeks and the Romans, they believed the chariot of the sun was drawn by four horses. I want to mention all of this because there is coming a time of great deception that could even deceive the brethren, because if we're not staying close to God and making sure we don't get deceived about things, others label as harmless fun. So that'll bring us to the first celebration I'll bring to your attention. That's the summer solstice. What is that summer solstice? During the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, the Earth's axis is tilted most towards the sun, offering the longest day of the year, so more sunlight, and the shortest night. It always occurs at the end of June. This year, it was on Friday, June 20th, and it began the astronomical start of summer. The summer solstice is an actual physical event, but why do people celebrate it? There's many articles about it, but one I read said that for thousands of years, people have celebrated the summer and winter solstices as markers of the planting and harvest season. Well, that in itself would be okay. But early pagans honored the summer solstice at a time to glorify the sun god, adorning themselves with garlands of herbs and flowers, believed to ward off evil spirits. which they thought were most active during that height of summer. Today, these traditions live on with solstice celebrations symbolizing new life, light, renewal, fertility, abundance, both within ourselves and the world around us. The solstice fires, or pagan solstice fires, were lit in the Middle Ages at the crossroads of paths in the fields to prevent witches and magicians from passing there during the night. Now, I did look it up, and if you look up summer solstice, you can find party ideas and foods to serve and so much more. It's presented as harmless fun, but the reality is it is, in fact, sun worship and nature worship. The Creator God is left out of the picture. Now, I know we're not going to do this practice as a holiday, but my point is we have to know the truth about such things. We can't just accept holidays or festivals that this world endorses as being acceptable to God. We can't just carelessly think these days or festivals are not a big deal. They are spiritually deceptive activities designed to lead us astray from God's true holy days. Here's another deceptive holiday, Groundhog Day. You would think that is anything except harmless fun. We all know Christmas and Easter are pagan. They're false and deceptive teachings. They're not harmless fun. We might not think of some of the other days people celebrate as holidays or festivals as being just as bad and just as deceptive. Groundhog Day. Is it cute and harmless? Is it just a bit of fun? Here's a question someone sent in to the Beyond Today magazine asking about Groundhog Day. So here's a quote, the answer that was sent out. The question was, you say Christians shouldn't celebrate Christmas and Easter because of their pagan origins. But what about minor occasions like those coming up in late winter? Groundhog Day, Valentine's Day, Mardi Gras. Aren't these just harmless fun? Well, here's a reply to their question. Scripture makes clear that we are not to adopt pagan worship practices as part of our worship of the true God. And they quote Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. So, well, let's turn there and read what God's word has to say about these days and activities. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. Verse 29. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, when you go in to possess them, and you succeed them, and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before you. And that you inquire not after their God, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. God tells us this. He says in verse 31, you shall not do so to the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, have they done to their gods. For even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. You shall not add thereof or diminish from it. All right, continuing now with the answer from the Beyond Today. Yet, what if one engages in these not to worship God, but just for amusement? Well, God wants us to remove all vestiges of pagan worship from our lives. So Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 4. So let's read that. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 4. Here it says, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, on the hills, under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire, and chop down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. So back to the reply to the question, is this all harmless fun? There are, of course, various customs of ancient pagans that didn't originate in their worship that'd be okay to emulate that. But if something originated in pagan worship, we refuse that. So consider the occasions mentioned above. The details here are easy to confirm through web searches and standard encyclopedias. So continuing now with the answer from Beyond Today. Talking about Groundhog Day. It might seem innocent, but it comes from the pagan Celtic celebration of Imbolc in honor of the spring fertility goddess Bridget and the winter goddess Calia, the old hag. So it's different forms of the mother goddess. Marking the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, it remains one of the Wiccans or witches' 8 high Sabbaths today. With days lengthening, it observed the returning of the light, fires being lit to encourage that. And it involved weather divination. A bright day indicated by the shamanistic observance of badgers or other small animals poking out of holes to see their shadow. That meant the winter goddess was deciding to abide in the world the 6 weeks or so, 40 days until spring. The word Imbolc means either in the belly for fertility or a washing or cleansing, symbolizing purification for spring rebirth. So it's thought to be associated with the purification rituals of the Roman Fabula festival, from which we get Valentine's. This day of Imbolc with its ritual lighting was absorbed by the Catholic Church as Candlemas, claimed to be the day when the baby Jesus was presented at the temple, 40 days from his supposed birth at Christmas. See, but that's false. When German immigrants brought the observance to Pennsylvania in America, they swapped in the groundhog as the animal to use in the winter divination. And you consider also, this is still a worship day for witches and many other religions that take the name Christian. It's not my purpose to name each specific religion that does that, although the Beyond Today magazine did list them. Another holiday people believe they celebrate as harmless fun, but in truth, as an evil practice rooted in immorality. And then the next one mentioned is Valentine's Day, February 14. This was the Roman, I'll pronounce it, Februla, named after leather straps from a sacrifice meant to purify the people from their past year's sins. The straps were used to strike women to make them fertile. That's where we get the month name February. It became part of the Lupercalia at mid-month in honor of Lupercus, the form of Faunus or Pan, a god of shepherds and fruitfulness. And just so pagan. The festival also honored Rome's founders, Romulus and Remus, and they were believed to have been nursed by a she-wolf or Lupa in the cave at the base of the hill. And that's where we get the name of that god or the festival name. So this festival was a time of drawing names for pairing off for immoral sexual unions, and of course was related to the love god Cupid and his mother Venus. There also seems to be a relation to the ancient hunter of wolves, traceable back to the mighty hunter Nimrod in the Bible. Perhaps the original Valentinus, or strong man, as the name means. Now, some claim that St. Valentine was actually a later priest who performed secret marriages and he was martyred. Others argue commemorates this early Gnostic teacher with his blasphemous divine bridal chamber ritual involved in sacred sex. So St. Valentine's Day is still a worship occasion for many other religions that take that name Christian. Again, it's not my purpose to name all those religions that do that. So I'm just pointing out, even today, people think some of these days and practices are harmless fun. Mardi Gras was mentioned next. That occurs between February and March. Now, cities today celebrate Mardi Gras with flamboyant parades, live music, over-the-top costumes. But the tradition dates back thousands of years to medieval Rome. First, it was held as a compromise between the Catholic Church and ancient pagan harvest festivals. Mardi Gras incorporated the revelry and indulgence of Saturnalia, a huge public banquet with gifts, nonstop parties in the name of Saturn, in a prelude to Lent, 40 days of fasting from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Meaning Fat Tuesday in French, it's the final day of gorging and partying before Ash Wednesday starts that 40-day fast of Lent till Easter. And then they had partial fasting of some things like meat. It comes at the end of a celebratory period called Carnival, and it's also called Shrove Tuesday, means shriven or absolved of sins through confession and penance before going into Lent. And then Lent is a form of an old English and dramatic word. It means spring season, perhaps from the day's lengthening. It approximates the period of purification between this embolic and the Lupercalia and the spring equinox. So they put that all together. While we see 40-day fasts in the Bible, they're not in association with approaching the biblical spring festival season. But on the other hand, we do see such lengthy fast periods preceding various pagan resurrection festivals. So it's clear, all these observances originated in pagan worship. They're still considered worship days by some, but many others observe them as fun unrelated to religion. Is it acceptable for us to participate in them? And then the answer, of course, is certainly not, according to the verses we've seen and numerous others. Don't just blindly go along. We need to extricate ourselves from all such customs. God detests them, and we should too. Some of the other major holidays and festivals the world celebrates, they're coming up, they're associated with Christianity by people who truly believe they're pleasing or at least okay with God. Halloween was observed by many people last night. Halloween is accepted by people who take the name Christian but do not or are not willing to see and admit the evil that's connected with such a pagan festival. Every year in the United States alone, around $8 to $10 billion is spent on Halloween-related products. One neighbor angle across our street, the whole yard is filled with giant a ghost and a monster, and just the whole yard is filled with hideous things. Many think dressing children up as zombies, mummies, vampires, witches, warlocks, werewolves, Frankenstein, Chewbacca, sorcerers, some other hero, they think that's all harmless. But the practice is clearly demonic. It's not of God. I'd just like to read a few comments from Mr. Nick Lamore that he posted in the Fargo area bulletin about Halloween. He said, "No doubt you've noticed Halloween decorations growing scarier and increasingly sinister looking straight out of a nightmare. Why? Out of a nightmare. And why? In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Paul writes to the Corinthians about that very thing. He explains, the God of this age, the deceiver, the father of lies, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds and twisted the reasoning of mankind so they actually believe evil things are good. In fact, Proverbs 21:10 tells us the soul of the wicked desires evil. So each year the giant skeletons grow larger, ghouls and vampires grow scarier, the fake axe murderers appear more realistic. Our neighbor has that with a head separated and somebody chopping it off. It's just hideous. But people crave bigger, darker, scarier. In Proverbs 2:14, it warns those that they hate wisdom and instruction, saying they're rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. I just quote another one too, Psalm 52:1-3. It brings to light a shocking reality. The majority of mankind has become so corrupt they actually treasure evil. Okay. But what about the Christian? Can Halloween be sanitized or cleaned up? Halloween originated as a Celtic Druid worship practice. It's not harmless at all. It's wholly evil. But what about the kids? Isn't it just innocent fun for them to dress up and enjoy the candy? Well, 1 John 1:6, consider these words. 1 John 1:6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, talking about God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. No amount of good intent makes evil good. It doesn't matter how you slice it. Taking part in pagan practices hurts us, regardless of our intent. The principle is plain in Deuteronomy 12 that a Christian must not adopt the practices from the world's religions, because they originate in demon worship. Religions of this world are steeped in idolatry and paganism. They all have a distorted perspective about what happens after death. And then Mr. Lamore concludes his comments with this encouragement. Let's strive to be those who shun evil and embrace uprightness. I don't want to go on and on about the deceptions involved with accepting such a festival as good instead of evil, except to say people take it as just harmless fun. The same comment could be made for Christmas and Easter. They're not just harmless fun. You know, they're lies. You want to tell your child a reindeer can fly and a rabbit can hide some eggs for you to find. You know, it's just not harmless fun. Now, you might think all of this is unnecessary to talk about because we all know about most of these days. Yet, many of us also know some people who said they knew all of this but actually went back into keeping and observing these very days. And just remind us of Matthew 24:24, because this will happen. There shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I might have told this before when I counseled for baptism. The minister told me, basically, this is the only thing I remember from counseling. He says, this was 1970, he says, one thing I can guarantee, if you would ever leave this church, you would never go back to Christmas and Easter. Now, when he said that, I believed it, he believed it. It was inconceivable for somebody that knew the origin of those days to go back to them. Absolutely unthinkable that that could happen. But we know it did. Some of those people that we believed at the time were part of the elect, they did return to pagan practices. How did that happen? I do not know the specifics, but I know there had to be a letting down of being very careful to live by every word of God. Once the idea that something could be just harmless fun, when that grows into a belief that it is in fact just harmless fun, then the idea is accepted as truth. This message is not about just holidays and festivals that the world calls good and fun. This is about any behavior or activity that is in conflict with God's pure way. Just to give you an example of what some would consider harmless fun is the game, spin the bottle. Now, that game belittles the sacredness of marriage. I don't want to say any more about that with little ears listening. Telling people, or children, babies, are delivered by a stork, dropping the baby down a chimney. Telling them the tooth fairy will put some money under their pillow if they leave one of their teeth under the pillow. That's not harmless fun fables. They're lies. Those fables, they're not okay to tell the children. They're not harmless fun. We have to take, excuse me, we have to take God's word extremely serious. God tells us in Revelation 21:8, all the liars will go into the lake of fire. He doesn't make an exception for little lies or seemingly harmless lies. All lies are not harmless fun. Most nursery rhymes, which many think are harmless, they often depict macabre themes about death, murder, immorality, domestic violence, other bizarre motifs. The rhymes are intended to influence the minds of small children. The same kind of influence can be found in children's shows on television and the internet. Some shows present themes of magic, witchcraft, or the supernatural. A child's exposure can present the occult in a positive way. But the Bible warns us in James 1:27 that our genuine worship before God has to be unspotted by the influences of this world. Playing cards for money or any gambling is not harmless fun. Thinking back to when we were kids, taking or stealing apples from someone's tree without permission, that was not harmless fun. We thought so at the time, but when the beast power and the false prophet come on the scene with their lying wonders, whatever signs they do, they will deceive many. Some of their deceit may be presented as just harmless fun. You know, who knows? We're warned several times, be careful to be sober-minded in a spiritual sense. We can have fun, of course, but it needs to be pure and clean and within God's boundaries. I should also mention New Year's. People have fun at New Year's parties. New Year's Day is a false teaching. It's not harmless. New Year's Day origin, it can be traced back to ancient Rome. It was associated with the god Janus, the deity of beginnings and transitions. The Romans initially celebrated the New Year around the vernal equinox, but over time they shifted the start of the year to January 1st. Influenced by the deity Janus and the Roman calendar reformed by Julius Caesar. And the date was later formalized with the Gregorian calendar in 1582, and that's the calendar most of the world uses today. But this is more than being just careful about the fun associated with all these world's holidays. It's about different ideas, false teachings. You know, they're presented as good or okay, but at the heart, they're contrary to God's laws. In an article on New Age influence in the schools, public education or pagan indoctrination, this was from the Christian Research Journal, August 15, 2023. Here it says, public schools and children in America have become strategic targets for conversion to the ideology of the New Age movement. It can be conclusively demonstrated that occult New Age philosophy and practices have been integrated into public educational curricular and programs. This intrusion is especially evident in certain health, guidance counseling, gifted sex and drug education programs. The use of New Age psychotherapeutic programs is usurping parental authority. So somebody had enough sense to identify that's going on. But that's in the schools. You got to protect your kids from that. So the point of the message is we have to stop and think about what we do day to day, year to year. What do we think is harmless fun, and do we know, is it really or not? The world is deceived, so we have to take God's word very serious. 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That was 1 Peter 4:7. And again in 1 Peter 5:8, here's another warning. And advice. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. How do we stop and think about what we do day to day and year to year? How do we control our thoughts, bring every one of them into the captivity of the obedience of Christ? How do we avoid being deceived into thinking pagan days or festivals are really harmless? Well, the key is we have to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. We'll turn and read that. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. All these pagan days are filled with lies. Satan uses them to deceive people and to serving false gods and false ways. So 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. there is a strong delusion that these days, they're good, they're fun, they're harmless. Certain amount of pleasure connected with them, but they're still lies. They're still intended to worship a false god. God gives us his holy days that are true and good and holy. I'll just mention something from another article from the Beyond Today, May-June 25 issue. It's titled, How Eight False Feasts Supplanted God's Eight True Feasts. I'll just read the heading for each one. You can read that article later if you like. It mentions how each holy day has been substituted for a fraudulent holiday. Sunday for the Sabbath, Good Friday for Passover, Easter Sunday for the Days of Unleavened Bread, Whit Sunday for Pentecost, Halloween and All Saints Day for the Feast of Trumpets, All Souls Day for the Day of Atonement, Christmas for the Feast of Tabernacles, and New Year's for the Eighth Day or the Last Great Day. If we determine we're going to avoid all false religious holidays, everything related to them, God will help us to avoid even thinking about joining in with any part of any of those celebrations, pagan, false holidays. So when these days come around, any friends or relatives that are not in the church, if they invite us or even expect us to join them in their holidays and their festivities and activities, we need to just politely explain we don't observe those days and we won't be attending. We've seen other religions believe some things are okay that we don't believe are okay. The holidays this world celebrates, they don't reveal God's purpose for creating man in the first place. You know, we recently celebrated the Day of Trumpets, and that holy day teaches us something other religions, they don't believe that we believe. We're children of God, and actually we'll be born into the God family. You notice that, Romans 8, 14 through 19. I'd like to read that. Romans 8, 14 through 19. Starting in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53, that reveals it will be changed from flesh to spirit when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. The world is not teaching their children these truths. The world is not teaching their children to observe God's holy days. They teach lies. Philippians 2:5, I'll just read that for you because it tells us we have a great responsibility to have the mind of Christ in us. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, people think it's okay. Tell the children about Easter bunnies and Santa Claus. But God does not lie. So my point is that when we have the mind of Christ, we will not, we must not take lightly anything others might think is cute and harmless, when in reality it's sinful and not true. We certainly must not lie about any of these things. We have to be sober-minded about our calling and know what's good and what's evil. When Christ returns, that day will catch this world off guard. It should not catch us off guard. We all need to prepare now. Like we're told in Revelation, the bride prepares for her wedding. Anyone with a Laodicean attitude, and be lukewarm, complacent about spiritual matters, they're not going to be prepared for the Day of Trumpets. They'll have some hard lessons to learn. Well, today we're not deceived about which days we should observe and celebrate in a religious sense. We all prepare. We look forward to the holy days with the understanding of how great a blessing they are to us and for us. So for a final scripture, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Here it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This message is about whatever we do, not just about any of the fun things we do. Whatever we believe and practice and celebrate or do for work or play or fun, it has to be done to the glory of God. Have some fun. Enjoy the blessings God so generously gives us. But whatever we celebrate or partake of or even do for fun, let's all make sure that it is truly harmless fun and not spiritual deception.